This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
It's time for the Wynonna Earp season finale after show here on AfterBuzz TV. We are talking daddy lessons and war paint. We've got Charlie to discuss. We have Julian to discuss. We have Charlie in to discuss. Stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello and welcome to the Wynonna Earp After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We are talking Season 3, Episode 11, Daddy Lessons, Season 3, Episode 12, War Paint. If you haven't already, go to YouTube.com, look for AfterBuzz TV's sci-fi, fantasy, and superhero channel. That is where the Wynonna Earp After Show will always live from here on out. And if you're watching us live, welcome. We have a live chat going. Carrie Lane is in the live chat.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to everybody joining us in live chat. And yes, like she said, if you're watching it later, no problem. Please comment down below. We love all your comments. And the last one, definitely a lot of comments.
Oh, my goodness. And Amber is here.
Hi. Hello. My name is Amber Plaster. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Amber Plaster. And I do go back and watch all of the YouTube episodes and respond to the comments. It usually takes me like about a week. But I do. And you guys have been killing it in the comments.
Absolutely. I'm Yael Teagle. Your comments really have been crazy good predictions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm loving all the theories. Let's jump into it. We have two episodes, less than an hour. Let's get through this. So we're clearing out town. The moon is up. It's full daytime, 2 a.m. I'm just starting here because I was right. This is the second thing I was right about all season. Finally, I was correct.
Little golf clap.
Thank you. For those who are new, I'm usually always wrong. This is a big deal here. Let's jump in with Waverly. Charlie is dead at the beginning of this episode.
I knew he wasn't dead.
We knew you knew. Yes, you were all correct.
But I did not guess Julian. Mm. I really didn't. They got me. I did not see that coming in 100 years. I would have never guessed that.
The moment they walk into the greenhouse,
I had a suspicion then, but last episode,
we saw a blooming flower. I went, done. He's an angel. He's Julian. Mm-hmm. But also, one of my greatest lines is later when Doc says, my best friend's great-great-granddaughter is sleeping with her sister's daddy. I was like, yeah, I accepted that he was Julian, but I was like, that can't be right. Wynonna slept with him. That can't be right.
It's a little awkward, but, you know, they're only half siblings, so it's not too weird.
He was in love with her mother.
Yeah, that's more the weird bit, that she slept with the same guy that her mom slept with. Not necessarily, like, her sister's dad, because timelines and people age differently. Anyway.
To me, it was far enough removed for it to not feel too much like a soap opera because first of all, he didn't even remember himself.
Yes.
Right. I really enjoyed them seeing his memories. I like this. I like all the new gifts we're seeing that Waverly had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She brought him back from the dead. She could see his memories. She can push people away. She can fix faces. I'm loving magic Waverly.
Me too. It suits her personality.
Mm-hmm.
It does. So Waverly figures out that it's Julian. Doc has been, we finally, I think, understand what that smile was from last episode, that he's kind of high on Julian's angel blood.
I'm still digesting that. Thinking about it because I thought, well, okay, I think Carrie was like, well, does that mean that he is human now? And then we see him.
I was wondering if it would like cure him.
So it did.
What does that mean?
What we saw that it happened, because I definitely have theories as to how we end up where we end up. But my theory or my understanding was by drinking the angel blood, it gave him an insatiable thirst for more angel blood. It kind of reminds me of in True Blood when they have fairy blood.
Okay.
For okay.
Anyone
it's
who's
like
seen
a drug.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sweeter. It's better blood and you just need more of it. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's where he was at that point. He learned how to glamour. He brings his toys to Kate and mm-hmm. she breaks them. That was really such a vampire-y conversation.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
So I was going to say finally had it and really delved into it and had fun with it, mm-hmm. even if he was more dark
right.
about it.
And so he goes looking for Charlie, and when Charlie takes, or Charlie, and at this point, takes the ring off of Waverly's finger, he's like, that's my ring, I got
comes
this.
Comes off for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she throws Doc, and he breaks the angel. I was like, I love this. I love this whole angel vampire thing that's going on. Mm-hmm. So good. So then Waverly goes to his not dead body and a tear falls.
Yes. And a kiss.
And a kiss. The tear we will bring up later when we get to how he walks in because I have theories.
Oh, I like this.
I have a very big theory on this.
Because I have questions about how he can walk in.
Yes. So, also, Bobo is abandoned, essentially, by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Amber, talk to us.
My boyfriend has been abandoned. It's not a good episode for Bobo.
No.
On the whole, I guess we're referring to, you know, both episodes since they were yeah. released
yes.
at the same.
Yes.
So I'm just going to call it one episode for
yes.
those of you who are listening
the
later.
The finale.
Yes. The two-episode finale. Bobo, man, I'm so grateful that they brought this actor back so many times when he should have been dead, and I know that he has to go, but it was really, I really thought Robin was going to break him out. I thought they bonded.
Mm.
And now I knew the remnants
wouldn't. I
thought
Robin would be weak and be like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
I feel like Bobo this season, because we've been waiting for him to come back, I feel like he was not used enough this season. I wanted
True.
More.
Yeah.
I think I was let down by his arc this season.
I was actually really amused that they brought him back just to keep him caged.
Mm.
I thought it was almost just like just such a punishment for yeah. this character all season long to be in a mental cage or a literal cage mm. the entire season. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't start shit. He couldn't hurt people. He couldn't help anyone. Like, he was just literally in purgatory.
I was going to say, also painful, is that outfit?
Yeah.
Katie in the chat, Bobo looks so pitiful in that uniform. Yeah, I did not. I was like, what is this ragtag outfit?
He just looked like a mess. He looked like
it was
so.
A hot mess.
When he's in like the first lieutenant uniform.
Yeah.
I want to know, where did that come
from? Well, maybe that's why it's so bad looking, is it's really literally, what can I find
yeah,
and put together?
Yeah, that's what it felt like. Why wasn't he just in his coat?
I think it's similar
to lame on him.
It's similar to when they were dressing up Winona in the 1800s garb, and mm-hmm. the beekeepers were still in their kind of shiny, weird outfits, which I kind of love, but are kind of goofy looking. And I feel like when we're having that sort of like Last Supper kind of vibe
mm-hmm.
On the second to the last episode, I feel like maybe Bulshar or maybe just the Revenants, like, they find what they can to look as nice as they can, and this is like the best they can do. And this felt very much like that.
I like
Bobo
your
hasn't
thought.
Needed armor till now, so it felt a little out of place.
Yeah, I kind of felt required because he's going to be the
yeah.
first lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer him in his coat. I prefer him
oh,
with the...
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think he prefers him in his
yeah.
coat. I don't think he wanted to do it.
This felt awkward and uncomfortable, but
right.
that's kind of the role he got placed into.
Yeah, so he asked Waverly for a favor. He says, mm-hmm. I've already chosen my exit strategy.
Yeah. I knew he was going to do that.
Of course.
Yeah.
I liked, though, that he did what he did in that way, right? Because when he gets offered to a job and he says, what took you so long? I was like, what is happening? Because I feel like Bobo very much would have taken whatever side
yes.
accepted him.
Yes.
And so it felt like at this point when he went to Waverly, it was kind of I'm doing what I have to.
Yeah.
But you better do what you have to. Yeah.
Thank you, chat. Chat pointing out it was the same uniform as the guy who had killed Dolls.
Oh.
Oh, so maybe it was the official chosen
outfit. It is the lieutenant's
outfit,
but it did not look great on him then.
Oh, interesting, because I definitely noticed it on the guy
who
killed
Dolls.
Well, I think
that's great.
Yeah.
That's a great, I don't know, I want to say alliteration, that's not the right word, for he's literally ill-fitted to this role. Yeah. So exactly. I thought that was like a good visualization of that.
Absolutely. I love it. So let's talk about Kate, who gets shot with the fire chief. So Kate is chasing after Doc. Doc goes to find Charlie for more blood. And I was confused. I could have sworn Doc is the best gunman in the West. And so that means he chose.
He chose to shoot her.
To shoot her.
I almost thought it was reactionary of the other cops, like he had turned.
No.
He's the greatest gunman in the West.
And well, not he cares his about aim. Her. I thought it was the person he was shooting, like, had a reactionary shot. But
no, he shot the cop, and I thought it went past the cop and into her.
Through. Okay, yeah. Then sure.
I thought it went through.
And if he really didn't want her to get hurt, like, say, if it was Winona, he would have waited until he had a clear shot.
Yeah.
He didn't wait. Right. He is very clear on his shots, and I think it was...
He's like, she's not going to die anyway.
I think it was almost putting her down like, I'm not going to hurt you, but you're not my number one. It almost felt like a statement.
Well, so the question is it intentional? Was it intentional, or was it because he was essentially hot and he was going through withdrawal?
Yeah, he was going through withdrawal, and so he was putting her down in the safest way and the quickest way he knew how to, but he meant to shoot her.
Okay.
So that he could get his fairy angel blood.
Yeah. So Nicole is fixing up Kate's injury, and we learn that the reason she's not healing is because they need night to heal. I love that, because it has been a question about how these are all Daywalker vampires that we've had. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea that at least the night is relevant.
I like that they at least honored that. Yeah. So much of her character, I feel like, didn't get what she needed or didn't really get a lot of time. And I know that she's a tertiary character, but... I really liked that they at least held on to that lore of vampires don't do well in the sunlight. So they kept her indoors. She couldn't fully heal, but she kept saying, like, okay, I'm fine. I'm undead.
Right.
Like, you know, you don't have to worry too much about me. But she's also lost her speed. She's lost a lot of her abilities. But she can still give information, which is what I liked, that she was still drawing the cards.
Yes.
And helping out as much as she could.
So the cards kept saying death until after Waverly's tear.
Yes.
It was when Waverly cried upon Doc that the cards changed, and they said that Waverly is with Winona and is of Charlie. Not with Charlie, of Charlie.
I think that's when they figured it out.
I love it. So, Nicole, yes.
Speaking of Nicole, actually, something kind of, two things. Aurora in the chat says, I liked Nicole and Kate together. I hope there can be more of them in season 4. Agreed. Shauna Potts says, I feel like they didn't know what to do with Nicole in these episodes because we learned about her being a survivor, but then nothing.
I agree. I agree that the survivor thing was kind of a letdown if it doesn't come back.
I thought there was going to be more, yeah.
There are a few things I feel like were kind of letdowns that'll come back. But before we keep going with the episode, I want to thank our fans for joining us.
Yes,
Amber,
thank
do you want to thank everybody for joining us, please?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. Hey, AfterBuzzers, our network producers for the After Show have nearly all your favorite TV shows, from drama, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve TV fans, but we need your help. So we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels, like maybe this one, because... We're here. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll be able to see even more awesome after shows and podcasts that are TV shows that you love. So if you're worried about notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So just hit that subscribe button and like it, because we want to make AfterBuzz TV the ESPN of TV talk. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody who subscribes on iTunes. We love you all so much. We've had a great time this season. We're even doing a giveaway at the end, so stick around.
Yes.
But let's keep talking about Nicole. So Nicole points out to Kate that Kate's in an unhealthy relationship. And I really like that she's like, I'm a cop. This is not healthy. And it's actually, at this moment, an abusive relationship. And I appreciated that that discussion was being brought to light, because we've had issues... on this show, on our show, where we discuss how much we love Doc, but he's not always a good guy.
No.
Bad in relationships.
Yeah. So I
like
really...
he might be one of those, he's good as a companion and a fellow soldier in this fight, but dating him, gotta be careful on that one.
Yeah. So I like that this was in our two-episode season finale. We should take a moment to discuss that this is an unhealthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then the beekeepers attack, and we have this really great shootout with Kate and Nicole.
Yes. I really liked that
scene. Oh, getting ready for, like, Mercedes coming in. I was like, oh, yeah, she comes after that. I want Kate and Mercedes, too.
I do have to talk about a little moment that I liked that, I don't know, maybe just was a little nod to, like, the tarot about her. So I don't know why they mentioned that. I feel like there's a deeper meaning behind this, possibly with Wayhot. But they mentioned that Nicole was a Capricorn.
Mm. Yes.
Which was adorable because, of course... Because I know about zodiac signs, I was like, of course she is. So like I saw it immediately, and they're very like about their job, and then so she was like, she said something about, oh, it's really interesting that you don't know that because aren't you influenced by da 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 da? And Capricorn is ruled by the Devil card in tarot.
Oh.
And then right after it, its counterpart Aquarius, because that's what comes after Capricorn, is the Star, and that's what happened. Is that's what got pulled. Was for Waverly when they when she the tear dropped on Doc.
Right.
So it's literally the Star, the angel, and Hope next to the Devil is what comes next to it. And it's the same cards that she pulled, and it's the couple, and I thought that was really cute.
That is also really cute and very interesting.
Yeah, super interesting. Didn't she also go then, aren't you a Scorpio, when she goes to
She goes, well, she's like, oh, I'm surprised you're not a Scorpio, I guess because they're spiteful. That's their reputation, although I don't feel that way. Just wanted to say that.
Are you a Scorpio?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. I definitely thought you were like I'm a Scorpio. You know,
felt like defending your sign.
I'm an Aquarius.
So we have this really great shootout. I really enjoyed Kate and Nicole working together. Nicole gets injured. Mercedes comes in. I agree. Mercedes and Kate. I just want more Mercedes all the time.
Though she did have like one or a couple lines in this. There are a few lines within these episodes where like... I mean, we love the show. Don't get us wrong. But when you love something, you should be allowed to criticize it, too.
Yeah.
Most of the lines were great. There were some really good snappy ones here and there. You're like, hey, like really good innuendo jokes or, you know, really smart. But then there were a couple just, what? Did they, like her later, getting ahead, but her later line, like, oh, I didn't eat the potatoes.
Right.
And then commercial break.
We will, we'll get to the Last Supper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yes, besides that, otherwise she was amazing.
The Mercedes of the Last Supper had some issues.
Yes.
I'm glad that we got to see her character again because I really feel that the writers of the show just keep throwing her and Bobo back in. And I don't feel that there's any reason for it, but I love it. I truly do. I love her character. And I just think that this last episodes, or two episodes, was just very ambitious and they were fitting a lot in. And for me, the jokes.
Yeah.
Were taking up valuable space for me. Like, I was like, I need more time to figure out what's going on, you know, what's happening with Doc. It almost was jarring for comedy for this episode for me. But I do still love the character, but it felt distracting from the main point for me.
Interesting. I definitely think there were parts where I felt the joke, like the potato joke, was unnecessary.
Yeah.
But I felt that there was a lot more benefit to Mercedes, and we will discuss that. In a bit, but so Nicole is injured and leaves. I like. Turns out getting stabbed really hurts. Oh, does it?
She was sliced hard. We went back. I'm like, can we watch that again?
It was a curved thing, and it went with blades.
Yeah. The scythe. Yeah,
that.
Yes,
like what the.
Like when you harvest wheat, like with the death.
Yes, that the death guy.
Yeah,
he has one of those. Yes,
the crypt keeper.
Kind of
Grim Reaper. Hey, there we go.
Kind of connected.
Yeah.
Kind of with our Nicole line. Christina in the chat says, the show is a good prom. A lot of interesting characters and not enough time to fully explore all of their storylines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah. Yeah, that one we had to we went back.
That's a good point. It's kind of like a champagne problem. It's a good thing that we don't have enough time. Yeah.
And only thing in semi-get ahead, but connected to her wound, when she gets fully healed, she still seems injured. I'm like, they made it like it wasn't there.
I think she still has the pain in her internal, emotional. You know,
she
like
she just had it, so healing.
Right.
Yeah.
Like just because it's healed, and she's probably weak. She lost a lot of blood.
I felt like it was a reset. Like you're back to new.
Nah.
Okay. They just sealed it and still had some blood. A lot.
We're not talking about her being healed by
not
Julia.
Yet. Not yet.
Okay, because I have a lot of thoughts on that. Continue.
Well, we'll be there one moment. Doc picks her up, brings her to the homestead, and that is where Charlian saves Nicole, because Nicole is the love of your daughter's life. Let's talk about Charlian. We learn, that's his name now, I'm sorry. So here's what we learned about his angel status. He was never in the garden. He never left his post until he met Mama and fell in love with her. Juan Carlo became a priest when Bolshar returned to the Ghost River Triangle. They removed the flaming sword that protects the garden. And they sought a mortal champion to wield it, which led us to Wyatt Earp.
Mm-hmm.
What else would you like to say about Julian?
Well,
and the healing, yes.
Yeah, okay. So I actually thought it was a poor call that he healed Nicole, because we're talking about the end of the world here, and he is the best weapon that we have now that Peacemaker is gone. And literally as soon as he said, but it's going to come at a price, I was like, then don't do it then, because we need you. Literally everyone needs you. So, like, I mean, I'm glad it worked out the way that it did, but if I was there in that room, I'd be like, no. Your responsibility as an angel is to save the whole group. Right. I mean, like, that was really reckless and careless and could have compromised his own daughter's life by doing that.
But,
and I understand why he did it, but, like, whew, that could have gone very poorly.
My question is this. He dies because he's stabbed.
No, but he used all of his energy to bring her back, which I felt was a little weak, too. I'm like, wait a minute. Aren't you a full angel? And I know he was dead to all intents and purposes. Right. Waverly was able to bring him back. And so that he had to use all his power to bring Nicole back,
My question is, do you think that he would have survived the stabbing, or that he would have been able to not be stabbed? I think he would have blown people away with his force.
Yeah.
I'd also like to point out the wings for a moment. Did anyone else notice that the wings look like a mustache?
No.
Yes.
They are shaped like the lift mustaches.
They were okay.
It very much was like, is this a nod to Doc? Like, what's happening here?
Maybe. I'm glad they didn't keep the wings for too long.
Yeah.
I like that he whipped it out when he needed to.
Yeah.
Yes. That too. That's a good.
I agree. That's when you should whip things out, is when you need to.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're requested.
Mm-hmm. Which was also noted somewhere in the episode, something about that when she was with Bolshar at the end, she was like, I do not consent. I was like,
yes.
It was great.
See, that was one of the good lines. Like, that was a good one.
I loved the Charlian reveal. I thought it was so good. I agree that he shouldn't have used everything to save Nicole. I just think that the point was that this is the woman that your daughter loves. You have to do something.
Yeah.
Or
He could have half healed her.
He could have kept her just alive long enough to get her to the ICU when it's all said and done.
And do we all... Then it's, why does he have to be the price? Like, I agree with this one. Debbie in the chat says, I thought it might have come out as a price on Nicole to pay, not him. Because, it's interesting that it's merely on him, not, like, somebody else in the group.
Yeah, I don't know that angels can do ill. I don't know that angels can be like, well, I'm doing this, so therefore it's going to hurt a human. You know what I mean?
Fair
like
enough.
They're just so pure. I just don't know that they
so
have that ability.
So then what is the price that Waverly paid for saving Julian, for bringing him back to life?
None, apparently. Also, people in the chat are pointing out he didn't have the ring on at that time, too. So the ring held up.
But she kind of activated him. He healed someone.
Okay.
So he was using God's power.
Sure.
Willingly, which comes at a price. She just kind of stumbled upon this ring that sort of activated a thing that he was already supposed to be there.
I'll allow it.
Okay.
So it's a little different.
Okay.
I'll buy that more.
Speaking of things activating things, Mambo number 6. So Jeremy and Robin are trying to do something with Bolshar's arm. The moment that Jeremy feels the Doc is in trouble and he feels it deep within his groin. I love it.
I love that he's like, goes for his crotch.
Doc's in trouble. So great. The beekeepers attack them. Nedley saves them and then gives us the greatest analogy of the Mambos.
I loved Nedley's hero moment. I am so happy to be wrong. I thought Nedley would for sure die this season.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did he not die, he got a hero moment. And it was great. It was so adorable. I could watch that again.
He got a couple.
Yeah.
He was great. It was really nice.
He was
so happy to be useful again.
He was
so excited. I want to do something.
So he's a little bit of Bolshar. And then Robin's blood. That will take us elsewhere in a moment. Let's talk about Bolshar.
Yes.
All right. So the Revenants take Wynonna Bolshar as fealty. And I want to talk about my new favorite character, Jarvis. With the ringlets and the hair, and that he did the ringlets for his sister's hair when she prepared to marry the man that he loved.
Ugh.
I love him.
That was like one line, and I was like, oh, like you got a whole storyline out of just that one little comment, and I was like, oh, boy. We get to meet so many interesting revenants that, I don't know, I love that throughout every season and every episode, they don't forget that Purgatory is about a revenant of the week. Like, it's, mm-hmm. it just is. And we got a really interesting one this time.
I liked him. And I was telling him, like, that voice is not what I expected. He sounds so, like, sweet and proper and everything compared to, I am gruff revenant voice. Rawr.
Right.
It's like, who is this person?
He also, like, has the big, scary, like, yeah. beard and the hair. And he's a big dude.
Very soft-spoken, yeah. actually.
I loved I really him. Liked him. So we have our Last Supper. Mercedes is another wife. It's an apocalyptunity.
Yeah. Sure.
I get it. As someone who has always said, if there was a zombie apocalypse, I am dead day one. I get the, like, oh, I could survive another day if I do this stupid mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. So I understand her motivation with that. But I don't also agree with her being so cowardly and like, yup, I'm being a coward.
That feels a little contrary to her character. She seems so sassy before, but she's technically died-ish already because she's like, Winona, you killed me the first time. So,
I mean, it works
maybe
for
she
me.
Maybe she has a, she
I mean,
holds back.
I mean, yeah, she's surviving. She's surviving and she's saving her face. Mm-hmm. She talks about it a few times. She's like, look how good my face looks. Like, I don't want to be like, can I keep this a little bit longer? Like, look at me. You know, she just like, I get it. Like, she's just trying to live another day. And mm-hmm. she's just taken kind of a almost a Stockholm syndrome attitude about it. Like, she's mm-hmm. like, okay, this is the best I can do. So like, he's going to treat me okay. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have to sleep with him. So it's really not that bad. And like, you're like, okay, I get it.
I'm glad that she eventually turned around. What did we think about Winona's begging? How did this feel for us? When Winona says, like, just take me, keep my family safe.
She's doing whatever options. Like, I don't think she really means it. Just no, save my family.
Absolutely. I think
I'm
she's
trying
to
option
do
one,
she can.
Didn't work. Try option two, option three, which is actually a good character. I hate when characters are like, I'm going to do the same thing over and over mm-hmm. again, and it's not getting results. Winona's smart. She's like, all right, this didn't work. Try something else. And then, like, build upon that.
That's interesting. My issue with this beg moment is that he already said he would leave her family alone, right? He said, my word is blah, 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 so great. Give me Peacemaker. I'll keep my word. So how did we get into the situation where she's like, I will be your first lieutenant if you leave my family alone? Because clearly he's going to go back on his word. He already did. So it felt like a weird tactic to
That's
me.
That's a good point. Maybe he just meant for like, not, I don't want to say that episode, but I when they were in that video
really
game
selling
kind
the
of
truth.
Situation.
Yeah.
Maybe he meant just like when they were in the forest and now that we're talking about the Day of Reckoning, maybe she's like, now for this also save my family. I don't know. It was kind of weak. There was a weak storyline. I agree. But I do think it makes sense for Winona to beg. I would absolutely beg for my family's life. 110%. Like, even if I knew it wouldn't work, I would just try it.
I definitely would have preferred her more of a negotiation than a beg, you know?
I think she's tried that, though.
But this beg was a negotiation, right? Mm-hmm. It was, I'm great. I could be your lieutenant. Let me go
it's
with
a good
you.
Good argument.
Yeah, but I didn't like that it was as a beg as opposed to a logical argument, if that makes sense.
I don't think it was very well thought out. Or maybe at that time she was thinking, maybe if I beg, I can get a little closer to him and touch him.
She didn't know at that point that
she
didn't
realize.
I love that we got that.
Okay. Which so many moments where if I only touch you, stop talking and or just be moving and talking.
Yeah. Go
jump
and tag
leave.
Him.
And like, eh.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
So he throws her in a cell. Luckily, Mercedes and comes around and Jarvis comes around. We unite the revenants. I like that she like it. Three seasons in, it occurs to her, wait a second, we're all stuck in this crap together. Mm-hmm. Why don't we work together? That was amazing. And I love that it took us so long for us to go, wait, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm very curious.
But she at
to
least
see.
Points it out, go like, wow, we've been going this long. Duh.
Yeah.
I'm but very curious to see what's going to happen to the Revenants next season. Because
they're not there right
she
now.
She has to have them as enemies at some point.
No, she doesn't. We'll get there in a second. So she lets them on the homestead. The shootout happens at the homestead. Doc is in the barn protecting Nicole. I do like that she's still kind of injured.
That
she pulls out her gun and is able to shoot, because I did not like the idea that this very capable woman needs defending.
Yeah. Only weird thing in that scene was she tells Doc, go get Waverly. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I can't go inside. You have permission. And they stay standing there the whole time.
Yep.
That was weird.
It was very interesting.
Like, oh, okay. And then it makes sense, because then Julian goes, okay, fine, I'll go.
Right.
But it felt like wasted time.
I agree. So Bobo grabs Wynonna, takes her out to the wood pile. I was very confused at this moment as to what we need from her. Are we cutting off her head? Are we cutting off her hand? They take some blood.
Or her arm?
They take some blood from her hand and then come with a chainsaw. I was like, now we're cutting off the head? What's happening here?
Arm, blood, more blood.
Well, I don't think that Bolshar could touch her, so he didn't want to use a chainsaw to get messy, so he used something near the wood with the axe, and then you saw that he, like, with a glove,
right,
very carefully took her blood,
yes,
and then, like, removed himself from the situation, mm-hmm, and had one of his minions after her. But it still was a little weird that he didn't just hand off the axe to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But okay.
So Bobo, Charlian is murdered by Bobo. So Waverly frees.
Oh, he had to die.
Bobo.
Yeah, that was one of those, like, even though we have a love-hate relationship, I'm like, no, that's the line you cross. That.
Mm-hmm.
Shit's it.
I will say that I read interesting articles after the show, and that although Bobo, as we know him, is gone, we may see Michael Eklund return. Probably, I'm going to assume...
Like flashbacks?
As flashbacks of,
sure,
Robert Spain. Something like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
So we see Bolshar at a fire. He throws the cards, Wynonna's blood, and the curse is broken. So back to your revenants. The revenants disappear. The curse is broken. That's it. She doesn't have the gun. There are no revenants for her to send back to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The curse is broken.
So
are they mortal again?
I think they're gone.
They're dead. Well, because they were dead already. So okay. Now they get, well, hell for sure, or just get to finally move on in afterlife.
Yeah,
where
do they end up?
I assume hell.
Oh, I thought it was more just...
Well, then why were they so happy to be on her side then, if they knew they were going
to
be...
Yeah. Because they were trying to end the curse by ending Bolshar.
But did they go to hell in the first place, and not necessarily because they were supposed to? Because we met good revenants.
Yes.
So I think it's more... They get to go to where they were supposed to go anyways.
Okay.
Like, they went to hell because it became revenants, not because of their life.
Right.
And now it's like, now they're not revenants, so now you go where you're supposed to go.
I like that.
But they're no longer human and alive.
No.
Correct. Yes, okay. Correct.
Okay.
Because they were alive in 1800, so.
They're not undead either.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Yeah.
So we have this tiny vial of Crypsis from Jeremy.
Yeah, I was like, that's it? That's all you got?
Yeah, you blended so much. You blended a whole hand. Why would you not bring more than a vial?
Well, I don't think maybe they need more than one, but I think if only a little dab will make them blind, then, like, why douse yourself in it? I think that was a moment where he was like, we're going to dab them in it. And I was like, okay, so he just decided they need a little bit. Yeah, why not have a backup vial?
Yeah.
Right.
It's weird.
So there's a quick Wayhut proposal. Let's discuss that for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Waverly proposes.
I did not like that.
I did not like that I don't feel like we got an answer.
I don't feel that was appropriate in this freaking episode.
Combination of both. It was one of those, are you really just proposing because you think you're going to die, not because you really mean it in that moment. Mm-hmm. Like, you're feeling rushed, like, okay, well, we're going to die, so now I want to marry you. So it felt like, are you really ready? And then also, so many times of them having their moment, I'm like, take your freaking moment and answer the question, and then you can go inside.
I like that it's interrupted by a get in here now. Because I think at that point...
But she could have still been like, yes, and go.
Yeah,
you know?
But if she was planning to say no, she couldn't just say no. Because they'd have to have a discussion.
They're not going to say no.
I mean, I think it's sort
or
of
a
reason.
Reaction. It'd be like, you know, it just really cuts there. But then that is us like, well, we need more.
I think that it's very reasonable that she would say no. Because you're just asking because we're going to die. Like, let's wait until...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're still so new.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel no reason whatsoever for them to get married. I feel like there's no need. They're totally happy. Like, what?
They're still new. Yeah, it's still new. What are they at? Like, one is it even a year?
I'm not sure. The timeline
in the show is very different than us watching it. So, let's say they're a year or less, which, sure, there are some people that can get married.
Also, Natalie's really young.
Yeah.
Still, that could be a thing, too. But in this moment, it felt like, so I'm going to die, you're going to die, let's get married.
I think also it's a, we still have, you know, there's nothing, we're not breaking up if we don't get married. We're still together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We still have time and we don't need to at this time.
Yeah. I did like that she at least was like, oh, I hate this ring. I was like, good. Don't lie and don't like half-ass a proposal. Mm-hmm. Like, don't do this.
So, Bolshar is returning to snake form. I very much appreciated that.
That was cool and creepy.
I love it.
I like the gradual snakeness.
Yes.
And that he now has some snaky moves. Waverly pulls the sword, the flaming sword. She pulls it from the steps. I really like the quick moment where Wynonna goes, are you floating?
Yes.
Because I was like, levitate? Oh, that's right. She can't see him.
Yep.
So great. And she names a hero because only an angel can do that. Mm. Yeah.
Sorry.
You look like you had something to say.
Really good one, though. Shauna in the chat says, I think she proposed, back to the proposal, with the ring because she has a feeling something is going to happen and Nicole can use the ring to find her. Mm. Okay, I'll give you that. That's the only one where I go, okay, fine.
I don't know
if she was planning that, but that's a good...
But I like that scene.
Locate or something, yes.
Peacemaker.
But yes, that moment, she was so, like, nice and tough there. I love Waverly standing on the stairs, like, yeah. I choose you, Wynonna.
And she throws her Peacemaker, which is in sword sword format. It is flaming.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yes.
Carrie and I both turned to each other at that moment. We were like, okay, we're here for this episode.
Yeah,
now.
Like last 10 minutes is where we were like,
super into this now.
I'll tell you this, Bolshar defeating the curse with throwing stuff into the fire and everyone disappearing, or the revenants disappearing, that was the biggest letdown. The curse is over, but then going into this battle was great.
Yes.
So Wynonna stabs Bolshar and he bites her. Who comes to the rescue?
That was a good one.
Doc to suck out the venom. Mm-hmm. Vines from the garden pull Waverly in. Wynonna can't get on the stairs and Waverly can't get off.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a weird loud noise. Any thoughts on the loud noise?
I think that's just going to be back for season 4. So it's that the Garden of Eden is either open or there's been another world that's been opening in our world. And I think that's just the sound of that going off. It's kind of similar to season 1 when Waverly gets eaten by that goo and we have kind of like a screaming noise to like show that she's possessed or not possessed. I think it's just to like show us that a portal has been opened.
Mm, yeah.
Let's talk about Doc being able to go in to protect.
Well,
here are my thoughts.
Connected to the protect, able to suck out the venom and not be harmed, and connected to, but you can go on the staircase, but wait, are you mortal?
So, here are my thoughts. I think he sucked out the venom, but he didn't swallow, so he just spit it out and it was fine.
But still, it could make you ill just touching it and whatnot.
I think vampires are fine.
Well, so I don't think he's vampire.
I don't think he's a vampire at this point either.
You think he got unvampired?
Here is my thought. So, he says he needs to be permitted in the house. We never see him enter nor actually need the permission. He hands Charlie the sword from the Greenhouse Angel, and Charlie says, you shouldn't have been able to hold this if your soul was truly compromised.
That's true.
Wynonna handcuffs him and wraps him with holy water, and he still gets out. I believe that the teardrop not only cured him of his need for angel blood, but cured him of vampireness. And now all the murders that he has done at this new life have been in defense or for good reason. And that he is now, were he to die, go to heaven, not hell.
Whoa.
I think he has been reborn.
Goosebumps. Oh, my God.
Oh, you do? Boom. That is my thought and understanding of what happened. The episode ends like this. Everyone has disappeared. Their name, Valdez, is written on the wall, which I have information about in a second.
Okay.
And Nedley and Wynonna are going to take on the garden to get Waverly and Doc back. Oh, fuck yeah.
Loved it.
That definitely helps sell the end, too, because we're sitting there going,
What a bummer, yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay, good. It's it needs to be moment. A pumped ending. Like, yes, all right, we are for this. A couple people I saw in the chat were thinking, I mean, this might get into predictions.
I have the info on Valdez, which I think we'll hold on to predictions.
Yes.
So that it's not too spoilery.
A lot of people are agreeing that the teardrop helped healed him, or cured him, as it were. And then Bam Lover says people suck out Venom. Yes, yes, yes. But still, he could be like, hurt by it, even if it's not in his body. But I think he is mortal as well, and was okay to make that sacrifice.
I think he was essentially reborn. He was purified. His soul was cleaned.
I buy that, because he was knocked out by an angel. Mm-hmm. So an angel's not going to hurt a neutral being. He probably attacked the bad in him. So I can kind of see that.
Okay. And Waverly's true tear. And I think the kiss probably helped, too. That's all classic.
I blame the tear.
I mean, more the tear, but...
Because she, like, then rubbed it in.
She kind of rubbed it in.
Did that in. Yeah.
It's good moisturizing. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, before we get into our predictions, yes.
Well, Debbie says they haven't disappeared. They were evacuated. But where's our team? The rest of our team is missing.
Our people have disappeared. So the town is evacuated, but Nicole is missing. She wasn't in the barn.
Jeremy's missing.
Jeremy and Robin. We don't know what happened to Kate and Mercedes.
Yes, they should be around, too.
Everyone is gone. And when she goes into the house, everyone's gone except for the word Valdez, which we'll talk about in predictions.
There?
He was looking for a drink.
Oh. And, so wrong place, right time kind of thing?
Yeah. People missing. Oh, and then someone, kind of side note, Purgatory's going to be pretty empty now if all these revenants are gone. By the way.
All the humans the town will come back.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, if the town is really, like, 50-50 almost, like, how much bunch of your town's gone? But anyway.
All the businesses, people are like, who used to run this?
Where did
they go? All right, before we get into predictions and our giveaway, it's time to decide who our MVP is.
Yeah.
There's a sound
cue.
That's
right. I feel like sound cue for MVP.
I was ready this time. Thank you. That's not it. I was ready.
Do we think Wynonna could have gone up the stairs, too? Because, maybe she couldn't go up the stairs because she couldn't see them.
No, once she saw them, she couldn't go.
It says, Alex in the chat says, the flaw with the whole doc is now mortal, is that's why he could climb and Wynonna is mortal, too?
So what he says to her, so Doc enters the garden and he says, you're the guardian, you're the only one who could wield the flaming sword.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So her job now is essentially... what Juan Carlo and Julian's job is, she has to protect the outside. Yes. She can't go in. Mm-hmm. That is my assumption about what he was saying.
I also follow.
When he says, you are the only one who can wield this flaming sword.
Yeah.
That said, she could see once she had the sword, she could see the stairs.
Yes.
And she tried to go and she couldn't.
An interesting thought on the garden, too. Real McDesi J. I think that's the Garden of Paradise rather than Eden. When there is no one to guard it, it turns into paradise. Tree of good and evil, good, evil, paradise.
Interesting thoughts.
Or good, Eden, evil, paradise. Oh. Yes.
Well, good, because it's time to talk about the MVP!
Yay!
I did it. Okay. Thoughts on the MVP. Amber, what do you got?
This is a really hard episode to choose the MVP because so many storylines got a lot of attention. I don't want to say wrapped up, but we got a lot. There was a lot of moments that I really liked. I really know that, like, Waverly did a lot, and I feel like everyone's going to think that I'm just a Waverly hater, but I feel like the MVP has to go to Wynonna this episode because... one, her acting and her hair was incredible. two, she becomes the guardian. She fights without Peacemaker almost the whole two episodes. Mm-hmm. And she begs for her family's life. She does everything but, like, scratch her way to victory. She does everything she can, including disowning Doc when she needs to. She gave away her baby to make sure that her baby was protected. Mm-hmm. Like, she did everything she needed to do to keep her promise and protect the family. So to me, it really was clearly very much Wynonna. And also, like, she deserves an MVP episode. I don't know.
All right. Carrie, what do you think?
Ooh, I was looking at the chat. I see a bunch of Waverlys. Julian? Nedley. Earp's sisters came in second as Earp's sisters. I like that idea, too.
I like that idea.
Winona for the fight against Bolshar, and Winona with the end of the world hair by Katie. I want to agree. I want to go with the sisters. Be like, no, we'll make it a double. Because they both did their duty, essentially, of risking it all to help everybody else. And which we kind of were predicting. We're like, oh, Waverly's going to do something and make kind of the sacrifice. So I don't think she knew exactly what she was going to expect and did not turn to a statue of stone. Nope. So
she was very willing this episode, whereas I feel like past episodes she'd be like, wait, I have to go back for Nicole. Or, no, I can't. Like, she was like, okay, you want me to come to the greenhouse with you and be cooperative instead of doing what I want? Okay, I'll do it. Oh, I should kill Bobo, who I kind of have feelings for? Okay, I'll do it. Like, she was very on board to do the hard things this episode.
Also, the going more with Waverly as well, of Julian's like, okay, leave Doc alone, but she does her moment, and then, like, we gotta do business. Winona also is like, all right, let's get down to business, get all this stuff done. So I'd go with the sisters.
Excellent. I like where your heads are at. I was going to say Winona, but you have both won me over to say both sisters. And I love it. Let's head into predictions.
Woo! Oh, Millie in the chat. Teamwork makes the dream work. Yes. Yay! I like that.
So I'm going to tell you all a little bit about Valdez. I put it after predictions in case you don't want to know. According to canon of the comic book, Valdez is a 1,000-year-old Mayan warrior princess turned black badge agent. That's who this character is in the comics. That said, we do like to take the comics and do what we want with them. Mm. So that is who Valdez is. I know a lot of the fans on Twitter were losing it, so excited. I can't wait to see how we have this character.
A couple people in the chat thinking of new characters or people coming back were saying it's been quote-unquote confirmed Rosita's coming back.
I would love that. But all the revenants were
That's true.
Gone.
So
interesting.
Maybe flashbacks or something else.
Maybe. Give me a prediction each, because we got to give away a poster.
Oh, man. I guess my prediction would be that Valdez is the season 4 baddie. So I don't really... I think that's our next big boss to beat.
I hope Kevin comes back. At least a cameo.
I'm actually surprised that Kevin dropped off.
Yeah, I thought it would be something a little more. Like, even if it's one scene of, like, all right, this is how on track we are off.
It feels like the Lost Girl characters, or the Lost Girl actors that we've brought in, were each for an episode.
That's true.
You know, we had Rachel Skarsten as Liza. We had Jolene played by Zoe Palmer. And now we have Anna Silk as Kevin.
Well, a few people are predicting that Rosita is Valdez.
I can see that.
Because we don't know her backstory.
We know that she was a revenant and that she died because she was in the wrong place, wrong time. She was, like, married to someone who was shot by Wyatt, and then she was killed or something. It was something similar to that. So maybe. Listen, I would love it if it was
a magical show.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
I would
killed,
love it.
William in the chat says she was killed by accident and not a bad girl.
Right. So I would love it if that's the tie-in. Final thoughts.
I think you're right on the idea that Winona is now the protector, so I'm curious how she can go rescue Doc and Waverly. And then, I have no idea where everybody else, unless they all got bumped out of the triangle somehow.
Ooh,
like
interesting.
Anybody who was still there somehow got kicked out.
I like that thought. What is the, what are we, how are we doing this? Ladies, we are out of time. So
yes. So since we are out of time, and people, thank you.
What? Maybe let's show it and then we'll announce it later.
Yes. So we'll show the poster. And then, by the way, this was so kindly donated by B Daily. You've probably seen on Twitter a lot. Helped me get this at Comic-Con.
By the way,
was on Sci-Fi Channel.
Yes, we saw. I'm so excited.
So we saw
B
Daily and another Earper on the Sci-Fi promo right before the end of the finale, and it was so exciting. We both clapped and cheered.
Yes.
I definitely stopped my DVR and was like, I know that face.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Oh, wow.
So here is the poster.
It is a season 4 poster.
By cast. Pretty much almost everyone who was there.
I can see. I can see.
Oh, this needs to be framed.
Dominique, Varun, I can see Tim, Kat. I can't read the others.
I think everyone was there.
I'm sure everyone was there, but I can't read them.
I think Melanie might be the only one who wasn't there at that
particular
thing.
It's okay, her face is on
the
poster.
But you get pretty much everybody else. So since we are short on time, we thank you everybody who's a applied as our, I was entered. So we will tweet about it. And we will reach out to you after to let you know that you won. And we will also put a comment on our video as well.
Awesome. Until next season, Amber, where can everyone keep up with you?
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. This season was amazing. You guys can keep up with me on Instagram and Twitter at Amber Plaster.
And you all can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
I'm Yael Teagle. I'm everywhere at Yael Teagle. That is including Instagram, Yael Teagiel. Check out my new bright yellow car. Yes. It's on my Instagram. Also, I'm here every Thursday for the Law & Order Special Victims Unit After Show. So check that out, and we will see you next season.
Yeah.
Bye!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.